Fall calls for comfort. Mack Weldon's got essentials designed for cool days and timeless style. Their new Ace line combines comfort with sophisticated looks. Go to MackWeldon.com for 20% off your first order of $125 or more with code MACK25.
Moncrief on News Talk.
There are all sorts of foods and foodstuffs we should avoid. Salt, sugar, anything that's processed. But could that fear be doing more harm than good? Richie Kerwin is a lecturer at Liverpool John Moores University. Good afternoon, Richie.
Hey, Sean, how are you doing?
Not too bad. Now, talk to us about processed foods, because we have this kind of idea that they're just universally bad. Is that the case?
It's a little bit more complicated than that. I suppose to start with, we're hearing a lot more about this term ultra-processed foods. It's kind of made it into the lexicon a lot more now. And people are using that a lot these days without kind of fully understanding what it exactly means. And I thought it would be kind of worthwhile just giving a bit of an explanation of you know, how we're categorizing foods and what that means for people, if that's okay with you.
Sure, yeah.
So like we basically got this new system that came into place recently, and then people kind of jumped on this category that it had, which is called ultra-processed foods. The system's called NOVA. And we've got it's got four different types of food. It's got its group one, which is, you know, your whole foods or your minimally processed foods, you know, your apples, your oranges, eggs, milk, all that kind of stuff. And then you've got another group, which is group two, which is culinary ingredients. It's things like, you know, oil and salt and flour. And then you've got group three, which is processed foods. And that's basically a combination of group one and group two. Super easy. But then they've got this other group, which is called ultra processed foods. And what's different about this is that they're usually industrial products, and they're usually made mostly from the group two foods. So things like, you know, flour and oils and, you know, proteins and salt. And they've got additives in there. And those additives you wouldn't normally have in a kitchen. And They're cheap and they're tasty and they're convenient, and we find them everywhere, every supermarket we go to. But the thing is, that system, that NOVA system, is designed to kind of categorize foods based on their processing and not actually on their health properties. And there's been a lot of talk about that lately, with people just saying, okay, we just need to eliminate these ultra-processed foods specifically because they've got all of these additives, you know, these E numbers and emulsifiers and flavorings and sweeteners like that. And I think that that's probably not the best approach that people should be going for.
Okay, why is that?
Right. So, well, I don't know if you spend a lot of time on social media yourself, but there's a lot of people that will walk around a supermarket and they'll tell you on social media what ingredients your food has and how it's bad for you. And they'll always be talking about some additives. And they'll always say these are in your ultra-processed foods. But the thing is, the problem with these ultra-processed foods is not necessarily that they have, you know, flavors or emulsifiers or sweeteners or additives in them. The problem is that these days, we're eating the majority of the calories that we eat from ultra-processed foods. If you look at data from the UK, people are eating about 60% of their calories from ultra-processed foods. And if you go to poorer areas or poorer families, you're seeing that they're getting as much as 80% of the food from ultra-processed foods. So that means that we're eating loads and loads of ultra-processed foods. And that means that they're pushing out more kind of healthy foods out of our diet, like things like fruit and vegetables and whole grains, things that we should be eating. So it's not necessarily the fact that we have any ultra-processed foods in our diet. It's the fact that suddenly our diet very, very recently has become made up almost exclusively of these ultra-processed foods.
Yeah, okay. So it's back to balance, really. By dint of being ultra-processed, does that necessarily make it bad?
No, and that's the thing. It doesn't. So there are, you know, plenty of foods out there that are technically classified as ultra processed that can actually be quite healthy. So, for example, if you go to, you know, your average supermarket and you get a loaf of whole grain bread, most of that whole grain bread is going to fall within the ultra processed category because it's going to have a few additives added to it. It's made in a processed factory. That whole grain bread is perfectly fine. It's a great source of fiber for people. It's a source of carbohydrates for energy. The same thing goes for, you know, some whole grain cereals that you could get, because they'll have added preservatives and, you know, they might have some added ingredients to help them kind of last on the shelf. They'll have some added vitamins and minerals, and they'll still fall in that ultra processed category. There's also, you know, yogurts like that, and plenty of products that can be part of a healthy diet that we would be missing out on just because, you know, somebody labels them as ultra processed and says, oh, no, you can't eat that. It's full of additives.
Yeah. But we, I suppose, you know, the ordinary punter doesn't have much of an understanding of what additives are and what's a good one and what's a bad one.
No, and that's the point, though. So you've got, you know, these people who are you know, becoming quite famous on social media, you know, on things like TikTok and like Instagram. And, you know, instead of explaining the whole, you know, like, you know, what this does or how much of this is good or bad, they just say, well, this food contains this additive or this product contains this additive, you shouldn't be eating it. And that puts people off. And the problem with that is that processed foods and you know, ultra processed foods, they're convenient for us. And we're living in a society these days where, you know, one, a lot of people are struggling with money and a lot of people are struggling with time. So if you suddenly tell, let's say, a couple of parents from a family where both parents are working and, you know, they might not be making a huge amount of extra money, that suddenly they can't use this food because it contains an additive because it might be harmful for their health, that's going to make their life a hell of a lot more difficult. They may have to spend more money to source other ingredients. It might take even more time to cook and prepare food for their family. And that doesn't do anything in solving the issue that is around ultra-processed foods. And that issue is a hell of a lot bigger than what people can do themselves in the supermarket.
Yeah. Plus also, I mean, you know, most people haven't the time or the energy or the money to be, you know, going down to their local farmer's market and all that kind of stuff.
But absolutely not.
But they, and there may well be things that are, you know, handcrafted that are just as bad as something that's ultra processed.
Well, so that's a really, really good point. And if you take an example of it, like say you make, I don't know if you bake, Sean, but if you make a cake at home and you make it with flour and sugar and a bit of butter and it's, you know, I'm sure you make a lovely cake. If you make that exact same cake in a factory with almost the exact same ingredients, but say that you put in some, you know, a little bit of a preservative to make it last a little bit longer on the shelf, and maybe you put a food coloring in it just to make it look a little bit nicer. That has suddenly become an ultra processed food. So you've gone from this beautiful homemade cake that you made at home that, you know, you say, oh, that's a wonderful cake, you know, that's good for you because, you know, it's all simple ingredients at home. That's gone from being that homemade cake into an ultra processed cake immediately. But your body doesn't know the difference between, you know, the homemade cake and the ultra processed one. All your body sees is, right, this is full of fat, this is full of sugar, this is very, very high in calories. And it doesn't matter which of those two cakes you eat. If you eat too much of it, you know, you're going to gain weight and you're going to experience a lot of negative health effects. And then if you eat it, you know, just very rarely or on occasion, it's no problem at all.
Yeah. Why do they call them ultra-processed foods rather than just processed foods? Or is there another category that's processed food?
So, yeah, so there is a process category. And process is basically where you add, you know, those, what I call those processed ingredients. So things like salt, sugar, fat, where you add those to whole foods. So, you know, like an apple tart, you know, that my grandmother would make is just like made with flour and sugar and a little bit of apples and butter, and that's it. But then as soon as you start putting in these ingredients that you don't have at home, so things like, you know, preservatives, emulsifiers, sweeteners, flavorings, so things that you wouldn't have in the normal kitchen, but you do have in industrial kitchens, as soon as they go in, that's what makes it an ultra-processed food. There's a little bit more to it than that, but that's kind of the gist of it.
Right. So is it the labeling that's an issue? I mean, apart from the societal issue that some people have access to beautifully cooked food and other people don't.
No, so the issue in general, I'll say, with ultra-processed foods is this, okay? So ultra-processed foods in general, okay, and this is not all of them, but in general, ultra-processed foods are, I'm going to give you some examples on things like your buns, your biscuits, your cakes, your crisps, your crackers. Okay. These are foods that in general, we all know are not great for you. They shouldn't be a major part of our diet, but they have become a major part of our diet. And there's a few reasons for it. One, most of them they're very low in fiber and they're very low in protein. And that means that when we eat them, they don't fill us up. Okay. So that's one issue. On top of that, they're all designed to be delicious. And you know, people kind of look at that and they kind of think a little bit cynically and they say, oh yeah, they're designed to be super delicious. All food is designed to be tasty. Like, you know, people are not going around making food that's not tasty. Simple as that. You do the same thing at home. So they're designed to be tasty. They're also incredibly cheap because they're, you know, they're made on a commercial level and they're absolutely everywhere. So you can find them everywhere. You'll find them in every, you know, service station that you go to, you'll find them everywhere, no problem. And one other thing is they're what we call calorically dense. So that means that in a very small portion, you've actually got a lot of calories. So if you put all of those things together, it basically means that those foods, those a lot of those ultra-processed foods are very, very easy to overeat. And that's what's causing the problems that we're seeing today. People are overeating these ultra-processed foods. They're getting far more calories than they actually need. They're gaining weight. That weight is leading to a load of other issues like cardiovascular disease, diabetes, all of the other issues that come along with it. And then on top of that, they're pushing out the healthier foods out of the diet, the things like our fruit and vegetables that are giving us vitamins and minerals and fiber that we should be getting. So it's not the fact that we have any of these ultra-processed foods in our diet, and it's not the fact that they've got some additives. It's the fact that they're making us overeat far more than we need to and not get enough, you know, healthy, nutritious food into our diet.
Right. Okay. Again, it's so maybe like as a general rule, it's really quantity rather than quality we should keep an eye on.
It absolutely is. And I would say to people, like, instead of, you know, kind of obsessing over the ingredients that are on food lists, because it's easy for a lot of people to look at a food ingredients list and just see a load of things that, you know, God, I don't recognize that. What the hell is that? Instead of obsessing over that, I would say to people, right, you know, in terms of what you can do at home is, let's focus on including more whole foods into your diet. You know, cook from scratch a little bit more often. But if you want, the majority of your diet is made up of these healthier whole foods, having a little bit of processed food in your diet is no problem at all. And in fact, it might make your diet a little bit easier to follow. And just to give a quick example of that, you know, anybody who has kids knows that, you know, getting them to eat vegetables is not the easiest thing in the world. But if you use, let's say, for example, a little bit of an ultra processed sauce, like, you know, a barbecue sauce or ketchup, and that's the only way you can get your kids to eat the vegetables. Well, the vegetables that your kids never eat are not doing anything for them nutritionally. So if you can get them to eat vegetables and you're putting a bit of, you know, barbecue sauce or whatever on it, and they're eating their vegetables now, then that's a win. And yeah, you need to think of it kind of like that. They can make a diet potentially. They can help you follow a better diet.
Richie, thanks a million for speaking with us today. That was Richie Curran. Richie is a registered nutritionist, also a researcher of nutrition and heart disease, and a senior lecturer in nutrition and exercise physiology at Liverpool John Moores University.
Moncrief, weekdays at 2 p.m. on News Talk.
Holidays bring feasting, fluffy dinner rolls, tasty stuffing, and your family's French toast bakes. With Hero Bread, indulge in your holiday favorites. Made with Hero Bread's sliced bread loaves, bagels, croissants, buttermilk biscuits, and more. And don't forget their Hero Hawaiian rolls. With 4 grams of protein and 0 grams net carbs, Hero Bread has you covered with 0 to 5 grams net carb and higher fiber options, so your holidays stay delicious and balanced. Like their 3 grams net carb pan of chocolate, Hero Bread is offering 10% off your order. Go to hero.co and use code FALL25 at checkout. That's FALL25 at HERO.co. All figures are per serving of Hero Bread. Contains up to 17 grams of fat per serving. See the product nutrition panels on hero.co for more information.